Thank you so much, Mark, and welcome, everyone. I'm glad you're on here with us tonight. If you're a Green Streeter, we certainly miss you. I cannot wait until the day when we get to fill up this place again and see everybody. And if you're maybe a guest, maybe you ran out of things to watch on Netflix, or you're a guest from another church, we are certainly glad that you're watching us here tonight. We're glad to have you here with us. Now, I originally thought about titling this message, Prayer Principles to Prevent You from Panicking During a Problematic Pandemic, but I resisted that temptation to excessively alliterate, and I went instead for the more subtle title of An Antidote for Anxiety, because the reality is, in one way or another, we all struggle with anxiety. All day long, it seems like anxious thoughts can pummel our brains just like hailstones onto a tin roof. You know, that bill needs paying, those dishes need to be done, that grass needs mowing, that assignments needs doing. I hope they didn't take what I said the wrong way. I hope my kids turn out okay. I hope I hear back from that school, one after another. And sometimes you don't even know what you're anxious about, but you feel anxious nonetheless because you don't know what else to do because you're so used to it. Now, and that list does not even account for the thoughts that a pandemic can throw into the mix. Like, will my parents get sick? Will my grandparents get sick? Will I get sick? Will my kids get sick? Will there be anything left in my retirement account? Will I be able to get groceries? Now, will I still have a job? Will my kids fall behind in school? What happened to my senior year? My graduation? My sports season? Will this thing ever end? And will we have enough toilet paper to make it through? On top of the everyday anxious thoughts, these new ones feel like somebody putting rocks into your backpack whenever it's already full of books. All day long, one anxious thought after another, and it steals your peace. And so what is the solution? What is the antidote? Because Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." How do we get in on that promise? Yes, in the middle of a pandemic, how do we have peace? But also in our normal everyday lives, when we finally do get back to normal, how can we have peace? Because let's be honest, most of us were already really stressed before the coronavirus busted onto the scene. And so in our text this evening in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to see God's antidote for those anxious thoughts and the anxiety that they bring. So if you would, if you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We are going to have it up on the screen here. Now, Philippians, a little background, it was a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and he wrote this from a prison cell. And Paul loved this church. You can read it. You can just feel it on the pages. Unlike some of his letters, he didn't have to do too much rebuking or correcting. He thanked them for support. He encouraged them, and he said he longed to see them again, even if maybe he wasn't sure that he would ever get to see them again. And so toward the end of this letter, he told them how to live with peace in an anxiety-inducing world. So let's read the text starting in verse 4, Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I've spent a good bit of time in the book of Philippians, and I love this book. But before this week, if you were to ask me what Paul said was the antidote to anxiety, I would have just said prayer. But that's not exactly everything Paul is saying, because you could take out that part of the passage where it says by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving and still have a sentence that reads like this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God." So according to Paul, the antidote for anxiety is bringing your requests to God. Now, I do want to clarify something before we get too deep into this thing. When I say anxiety, I realize that word has a lot of meanings. And so tonight, we're not specifically talking about anxiety as a diagnosed medical disorder, because if you struggle with an anxiety disorder in that way, when I say that Paul gives us an antidote for anxiety in this passage, I do not mean that you should just go and flush your medications down the drain, because the Bible teaches that people are spiritual, we are physical, and we are emotional beings, and we live in a broken world, and we are grateful for the common grace of medication that often helps us with that broken physical aspect of our being. And so I do believe what Paul tells us here can certainly help you if you do have that type of anxiety disorder, because the spiritual, physical, and emotional overlap. But please don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight, because we are mainly talking about anxiety in a more general sense of the word, because that's how Paul uses the word anxious in verse 6. And it's the idea of being stressed out or overwhelmed or unduly concerned or just weighed down by something. And now, so whether or not you struggle with an anxiety disorder, we all, in various ways and in various degrees, we feel anxiety in this general sense of the word. I mean, something confronts you or pops into your mind and it stresses you out, and you're left there to wrestle with that anxious thought that nips at your heels like a rabid chihuahua the rest of the day. And so what does Paul say is the way to deal with those anxious thoughts? He says it is to bring your requests to God. That's the antidote. So prayer and supplication by themselves are not the solution. They are the means by which we bring our requests to God. They are like the conduit or like the pipes in your house that bring the warm water to the shower head. The pipes aren't cleaning your body, the water is. So prayer and supplication don't directly fix your anxiety, but using them to bring requests to God fixes your anxiety. It solves those anxious thoughts. Now prayer, it's just the general word for talking to God, and supplication is a specific type of prayer. A supplication prayer involves making a request, or specifically an urgent request. And honestly, this is probably the most natural type of prayer there is for all of us. You've heard the saying before, maybe, that there are no atheists in foxholes. Now, whether or not that is true, you get the idea. And even non-religious people, when their life is in danger or they have a big enough, pressing enough need, they will make a request to God in the form of a prayer. Just, God, help me. God, save me. And tonight, you may even be a non-religious person watching this right now. You may have never had an interest in church, but now you're watching a random guy talk about the Bible on Facebook. And maybe it is because this pandemic has you thinking about life and death and what it all means. Now, we bring our request to God by means of prayer and supplication, or simply prayer. And thanksgiving then is the manner. So those are the means, then thanksgiving is the manner or the attitude with which we bring our requests. Because when you have an urgent need, when something is pressing, it's like everything else in the world disappears. Kind of like when you hurt your toe or you cut your finger, the rest of your body, you just forget about it. And so gratitude, when we come to God bringing a request and we start to thank him of all that we have, it's like he pulls back your head to let you see all that he has given you. And it reminds you of his character, that he is indeed a good and loving father who does indeed care about you. And in that way, a grateful prayer, a prayer with thanksgiving by itself, can do a lot to decrease your anxiety. Now, how does God intend for prayer to look like in our lives? Certainly, it's a good idea to model our prayers after the Lord's Prayer, and we can also follow Jesus' example. He had a quiet time. Early in the morning, he would go retreat to get alone to talk with his Father. And so if Jesus needed a special devoted time to prayer, I certainly think we do as well. But if you're like me, I can have the richest time in prayer in the morning, And it seems like the moment I say amen, sometimes it's like one of those devils hops onto my shoulder and starts catapulting anxious thoughts into my ear and against the side of my head. Or other days he switches it up. He lets me go well for a while. I mean, I'm going along singing victory in Jesus. Then like a ninja out of the bushes, he comes and just something happens. That anxious thoughts, whether it's a bad email or taxes don't turn out the way you think they should, or this happens or that happens, and it just wrecks you. And so while we do need a devoted time for prayer, God also intends for prayer to fill every nook and cranny of your life. Now, no, nook and cranny are not theological terms, but they do make sense. Paul says, in everything, by prayer, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, not just some things, not just the really hard things, not just the really big things, but everything. Now, during this whole coronavirus situation, we've been working from home a lot, and so I've been able to do a lot of cooking. I love cooking. It's been a lot of fun to do that. But I've also done a little bit of canning. Now, I canned venison. Venison is just a fancy word for deer meat, so for all the rednecks out there, it's deer meat. I'd killed a deer this past fall and had planned on canning it at a later date and had it in the freezer. And so I thought, well, what better time to polish up your doomsday prepper skills than now in a pandemic? So thawed it out and went to canning it. And the way it works, I put the different pieces of venison, they were cut into about an inch and a half or 2 inch piece, and you fill up the jars all the way to the top. And they look full. They look like you can't fit anything else in there. And then the next step is you take boiling beef broth and you start pouring it in there, and you have to get a third of a cup of that stuff in there. And you take a knife and you work it around, filling every nook and every cranny, making sure all the air bubbles are out, and you can fit a lot more in there even when the jar looked full. Your life is kind of like that mason jar. It looks and feels like it is as full as it can get. And when you think about prayer sometimes, it just feels like you're trying to force one more thing into an already full jar. I mean, it would not have worked for me to have taken a third of a measuring cup full and just pressed that whole cup down into it. It wouldn't fit. And so when you think about prayer, you can get anxious thoughts about making time to pray because you already have a full plate. You already have a full jar. And so God does not intend that you have a prayer life where prayer just occupies one space on your daily planner. Yes, that's important, but I think he intends for you to have a praying life where your whole life is characterized by a conversation with him. And we often think about prayer and discipleship in a wrong or at least an incomplete way. In general, we are drawn to programs and techniques and strategies that guarantee success. Just think infomercial. For $19.95, you can have a 1-2-3-step process to the best life. We're drawn to those things. When it comes to prayer and discipleship, we're drawn to this prayer method or that discipleship program. And there are hundreds out there, and some of them are helpful and some of them are not so helpful. But until, and they work well until your life season changes and that program or model no longer fits into your life as neatly as it really can. And it leaves you feeling like you can't pray at all because you've equated prayer with maybe that particular method, and you look at the jar and you just say there's no room. But what you're doing though is you're overlooking the nooks and the crannies. In every season of life, you can have a vibrant praying life because God designed prayer in such a way that it can fit into every day of your everyday life, no matter what that day holds. And honestly, the more stressors that a day holds, the better suited it is for prayer because of this. Because God intends your anxious thoughts to be the fuel for your praying life. God sees you. He knows how much is on your plate. He gave you that job. And he gave you those kids that need braces and that house that needs cleaning and that car that needs tires. He knows that for all the blessing of those things, that they can also produce anxious thoughts in your head as you steward those blessings in your life. And in the gaps between the details of your busy life, all you may see is emptiness and anxiety, but God sees fuel for a vibrant praying life. You can't necessarily stop all of the stressful thoughts from coming into your head altogether, but it's what you do with them that makes all the difference. I think it was Martin Luther who said, you can't stop a sinful thought from coming into your head, like you can't stop a bird from landing on a branch, but you can stop it from building a nest. And so what do you do with an anxious thought to keep you from building a nest and making you miserable? Well, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. And he tells us, in everything, use prayer to bring our requests to God. And so I believe what he has in mind here is the practice of taking anxious thoughts and turning them into prayers. Every single anxious thought that comes into your mind can be turned into a prayer. It can be turned into a request brought to God. Don't believe me, you try it tomorrow. Anytime you start feeling stressed or anxious or worried, just ask the Spirit to help you to be aware that that anxious thought, you can turn it into a prayer. Whatever it may be, you can turn it into a request. And you may feel silly at first because a lot of the stuff that stresses us out is pretty small and insignificant. But do not believe the devil's lie that God doesn't want to hear about those things. Do you turn away your kids whenever they come to you in tears over the most insignificant, tiny thing? No. You wrap them up in your arms, and you cry with them, and you make them feel loved because you love them and you care for them. And so that's the way God is. 1 Peter 5:7 tells you to cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Your anxious thoughts are the fuel for your praying life. And he's waiting for you. He cares for you, and he wants you to bring those anxious thoughts to him as requests. Your praying life, think of it like a fire. And then think of your anxious thoughts, each one of them, like a stick of firewood. Everyone that pops into your mind is like somebody throwing a log into your lap. And you can sit there and hold on to the log if you'd like, but if you do that long enough, eventually the fire's going to go out and you're going to be buried in a pile of firewood. And this principle right here, this principle that your anxious thoughts are fuel for your praying life, I think they actually knock down two of the most, of the biggest barriers to prayer that we face. On the one hand, we often don't pray because we don't know what we would say. We think we have to say these really holy religious things, and certainly we should pray scripture and pray godly things. But the question is, do you have anxious thoughts? My guess is you probably just in your thought life have enough material to work on that can keep you praying all day. Now, in the second way, we also struggle to pray because we think we need to get ourselves in a worshipful mood before we approach the throne of grace in prayer. And maybe there's some truth to that, but I don't know. I think, listen to what Jesus says. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's from Matthew chapter 10. Paul Miller, in a book called A Praying Life, puts it like this. He says, weariness is the only criteria for coming to Jesus. Now, so are you weary? And are you burdened with anxious thoughts? Do you know Jesus? Well, that's great news because you have all the ingredients for a vibrant, powerful, rich, praying life. Now, anxiety, it also has a way of turning your thoughts inward where all you can see is your shortcomings, where you don't measure up. But prayer fights against anxiety because God intends for prayer to focus your thoughts on him. Now, anxious thoughts often snowball like this. You look at the problem, and then you look in the mirror. And then you look at the problem, and then you look at the mirror. And over and over again, and eventually all you can think is, I don't have what it takes to get through this. I can't understand it. I can't wrap my mind around it. I don't have what it takes. So when you take that anxious thought and turn it into a prayer, a request to God, it breaks that loop track of mirror problem, and it turns you away from yourself and your weakness, and to let you see a God who has no limitations. When you have that anxious thought plopped down into your lap, you can either let it defeat you and let them just pile up, or you can cast it at the feet of the throne of grace and let it actually fuel a vibrant, rich relationship with a prayer life, because prayer is not just about prayer. The object of prayer is not about, it's not praying. The object of prayer is for you to know God. So realizing that you are weak and that you are totally dependent on God is the first step to growing deeper in the grace of God. And I mean, Paul literally says, when I am weak, then I am strong. And so your anxious thoughts are not just the perfect fuel for a vibrant praying life, but also for growth in the Christian life itself. Because those anxious thoughts, when you let them show you your weakness in the right way and let them send you to God, they put you in the right posture to depend on Him and trust Jesus more deeply. So what happens? What is the effect when you take an anxious thought and turn it into a request for God? When you turn anxious thoughts into prayers, God's peace will protect your heart and your mind. That's what Paul says there in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, during the Salem witch trials, they had one of their execution methods was something called pressing. And what they would do is they would lay the accused on the ground and put a board on top of them. And then the executioners would just place heavy stone after heavy stone onto the board until they couldn't breathe anymore. It literally would crush them, suffocate them to death. And for a lot of you, that's how these anxious thoughts feel. Just one more thing, almost like you can't breathe. Now, the promise of this passage is not that if you pray to God, if you ask God, that He will magically remove all those things. That's not the promise. He may. God does work and He removes problems, but a lot of things that cause us stress are actually good things. And so the promise of this passage is not that He's going to take those away, but that He will guard your mind. And you don't miss this part. Guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Notice how we started this passage. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Then he says, the Lord is at hand. Let your requests be made known to God and the peace of God. He is trying to turn your eyes to Jesus. And when Paul says in Christ, he says this over and over again. He's talking about your status as a believer. You are in Christ. The Spirit in you means you are one with Jesus. And so whenever you bring your request to God, He may not take those stones off your chest. But what happens, the effect of you being in Christ will be like, yeah, you're still under those stones, but you're wearing Tony Stark's Iron Man suit because you're in Jesus. And He's going to give you the grace and the peace to guard your heart and your mind from the attacks of the anxious thoughts that the enemy wants to use to steal the peace that He's given you. And so the way you turn on that Iron Man suit, the way that you activate and make good on the benefits of your relationship with Jesus is every anxious thought comes in, you turn that anxious thought into a prayer, because the antidote for anxiety is bringing your request to God. Now, Paul casts vision for what this looks like. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. So he says that as Christians, you can have joy and a level head at all times. That reasonableness word, it's like the opposite of getting in a fight over toilet paper at Costco. And he says as Christians, we can have joy and we can have reasonableness at all times if we will take our anxious thoughts and turn them into requests. So as we close today, my challenge to you as a believer, just over the next couple days, even tonight, just ask the Spirit to help you catch yourself with anxious thoughts, and even just to make you aware of them. And then ask Him for the grace to help you turn those anxious thoughts into a prayer request. and then enjoy the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The solution to your anxiety is not wrapping your mind around it or understanding it better. It's resting and trusting more deeply in Jesus. If you're watching this and you're not a believer, my prayer is that you would turn to Jesus tonight. Prayer is just talking to God. And the way that you become a follower of Jesus and access all the benefits of the peace that he promises and eternal life forever is you talk to him and you say, I'm turning away from my sin. I want to trust in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the dead. And he'll give you a new life. Contact us at the church office. We would love to talk with you through it and help you figure out what it looks like to live this crazy Christian life. Thank you so much for listening tonight. I'll close in prayer and then Brandon will come up and lead us through our prayer time. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. I praise you for passages like this, Lord, not just for a pandemic, but for every day. Lord, you know us. You know how easy it is for anxiety and frustration and things to creep into our minds, Lord. Thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for being a loving Father who wants to listen to our requests. So I pray for my brothers and sisters, grant them peace, help them to turn anxious thoughts into prayers and just revel in the joy and the peace that you give, Lord. In your name, amen.
Well, amen. That's a fantastic word from God's word. Thank you so much, Pastor Quentin. So why don't we take just a little bit of time and put into practice what we've heard by way of challenge from God's word tonight. You know, the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy, I urge you, I urge you that prayer, supplications, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people. And then Paul goes through a list of ways where he tells Timothy, a young pastor, how to pray and how to lead the church that he leads to pray. Pray for kings. Pray for those who are in high authority, those who are in positions, that we might lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. It's pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That simply means that because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can pray. We can cast all of our cares upon the Lord. We can release our anxieties and our burdens to the Lord because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And He is our mediator. He is our faithful high priest. And so we're able to enter into the Holy of Holies and pray and call on the name of the Lord. And so tonight, I want you to do just that. Wherever you may be, if you're at home in your living room, if you're somewhere else, if you can, just take just a few moments and just get alone with the Lord, maybe your spouse. I don't know if your children are there with you or not, but why don't we just call on the name of the Lord even right now? I want to give you some prayer prompts, and I want you to take just a few seconds, and you can breathe a prayer to the Lord for some specific issues. To begin with, pray for some specific needs in our community, specific needs in our state, our nation, our world. And obviously, the crisis that's ongoing in our country as well as all around the world, why don't you take just a second or two and cry out to the Lord on behalf of those who are sick and families who've lost loved ones. And then, what about some specific needs in our church family here at Green Street that you may be aware of? Or if you were joining us and you belong to another church, you know of some specific needs in your church family, why don't you take a moment or two and cry out to the Lord and make those requests known unto Him. And then pray specifically for the salvation of those who are not believers. I imagine many of you have someone in your family, maybe a neighbor, someone that perhaps you work beside that doesn't know the Lord. I want to encourage you to pray for someone by name right now that doesn't know the Lord Jesus. And pray that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction to their heart and that during these crazy times that they might come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. You know, I love what Quentin said about prayer being the goal of prayer. The object of prayer is knowing God in a deeper, more intimate way. So why don't you take just a moment or two and just praise God for who He is and thank Him for answered prayer in your life thus far. One of the things that I know that all of us wrestle with is really a short memory. We often fixate on our needs and then we move on to the next thing. But there are countless ways that God answers prayer. And my prayer is that we'd write it down and we'd remember it so that we can give God glory and thanksgiving, praise and worship. So take just a moment and do just that. And again, in that passage, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to pray for those who are in positions of authority, government leaders. So right now, why don't you pray for leaders at the national level. Pray for President Trump as he's leading our nation through this time of crisis, as he has many decisions that he has to make. Lift him up before the Lord. Pray for Congress and pray for the decisions that they're having to grapple with even now. Pray for our state and local leaders. Pray for Governor Roy Cooper. If you are here in the state of North Carolina, he's our governor. Pray for our mayor here in High Point, Jay Wagner. Pray that God would give our leaders wisdom as they lead government, cities and states and a nation during difficult times. And then pray for the success of the Great Commission, that somehow that God would use the circumstances that are going on even now for the fame of his name and for his kingdom agenda and purposes, that people would come to know Jesus Christ all over the world, that the church would be mobilized for ministry, even though we're having to get creative and do some things in some different ways than we've ever done them before, and that the Lord would lead us and that there would be fruit that would be left behind in our wake. Pray for God's people to cry out to him in repentance and in faith and to seek his face for revival in our time. And I've really been praying that in my personal life, that the Lord would use this crisis as a way of sort of getting the attention of people. And I long to see revival in my day. I long to see people come to know our God. I long to see the church empowered, refocused on the Lord Jesus like never before. And so, Father, all of these prayer prompts, we can pray in just so many different ways for so many different things. Lord, I know that there are people tonight who are participating that have burdens and concerns on their heart in their families. Lord, maybe there's been a job loss or some other kind of crisis in their life while they're walking through this one also. Lord, thank you that you are a God that we trust. Lord, you are a sovereign Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, teach us to pray. It's easy for us to want to worry and to go through life with anxiety, wondering about what might happen next. But Lord, we can trust you because you are in complete control of our lives. History is your story. Your name will be made much of. You will receive glory. And that's our prayer tonight, Lord. God, I pray for a sweeping revival to begin even now in the church, Lord, that would affect our city. Lord, there's been such lostness and brokenness and so many needs, Lord. I pray that you would empower your church to be salt and light. God, give wisdom and direction to those who have hard decisions to make. Lord, government leaders, business leaders. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you bring us through this ordeal and that we emerge the better for it. Lord, any other issues that your people may have tonight, Father, I'm so glad that we can cast all of our cares and all of our anxieties upon the Lord, knowing that you care for us. And it's in the strong and mighty name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'm so glad that you've joined us tonight. I do want to encourage you, be praying, be preparing even now, as God willing, we'll come back for worship through these online means this coming Sunday, once again, 10 a.m. online only. Again, if there are any needs that you may have in your family, you know, I know the thing is, I've had several people who've emailed me or have contacted me this week and have said, listen, Pastor, if you know of anybody in our congregation that has a need, please let us know because we'd like to help out any way that we can. And I'm just so thankful for the generosity of God's people and the love of God in the hearts and lives of His people that's been poured out, shared in a variety of ways. If you do have a need, please let us know. Again, you can email us, connect@greenstreet.org. You can call us, and we'd love to minister to you in any way that we can. Now, one of the ways that we do that here in our church family, our Delacolor Benevolence Fund, one of the ways that we're able to minister to families in crisis, folks who may have had a job loss, the church being the church. And so if that's something maybe God's put in your heart, you'd say, you know, I can give, I can help meet a need. Would you just let us know? You can contact our church office, and we'd love to put you in contact with however you want to help out as God so leads you. Know that I love you. We're praying for you. And God willing, we'll see you at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I hope you have a good remainder of the week.